Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
See You at the Show recognizes and acknowledges that we gather today on Indigenous land, which was taken through deception, coercion, violence, and genocide. We acknowledge the continued displacement and oppression of Native people and honor their commitments to survival, identity, and the protection of our world. We also acknowledge that the United States was built at the often fatal expense of forcefully enslaved Black people. We acknowledge those who still cannot safely walk down the street or fully enjoy fundamental civil rights and freedoms. We acknowledge that our twin cities and county remain segregated and inequitable. We aim to cultivate space for Black stories to be uplifted and for Black lives to be celebrated. We pledge to infuse our work with true values of anti-racism. We offer these acknowledgments and experiences into the space with respect and gratitude, along with the intention to spark more awareness, compassion, and empathy for every life in our community. Show with Eric Shockton, Linda Evans. We are here in the studio for I don't know how many times in 2022. Zero, because it's 2021. Right, right. I've already switched gears, man. I already programmed my calendar. Anyway, what I'm saying is we have been back in the studio a lot more this year than 2020, but significantly, this show also marks the 100th time See You at the Show has had a live show celebrating community theater in our area.
Right. And
that's kind of
new
cool.
Content. Yeah. It's 100.
Symmetrical anniversaries, I suppose, with the Virginia Theater.
Exactly. Exactly. And we were at the Virginia Theater just two nights ago to see their 100th anniversary birthday show.
Yeah, we actually got to see it on the birthday.
Right. And we sang Happy Birthday.
I mean, I would say we were there for the singing. I was listening for you, Linda.
Was I not singing?
No.
Okay, sorry.
You've had multiple opportunities this month to sing Happy Birthday,
I don't think
you're going for it.
And you haven't heard me sing either one.
Yeah, I mean, I can set up lessons. I've got a good voice teacher these days.
Yep, so yep. I might need that. Ingrid. Yeah. So we saw The Bat at the Virginia Theater. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it would be really interesting to know a little bit more about the original 1921 production. And of course, it's just really cool. I suppose that whoever realized that the play that was first done
was still available, right,
still findable, and can still be performed.
Right.
So that would, I mean, if I would have, like, that would be the type of thing I would think was really cool. And I don't know if it was the producer, Jeff Goldberg, who came up with it, or somebody at the Virginia Theater, but congratulations for an inspired idea and for pulling it off with and drawing pretty much I use the word all-star cast with almost every show I see in this town.
No, but it's a great cast.
Yeah, really great cast. People that we haven't seen enough of, even on the stage. And also, based on the bios, there are some people that we should probably know better than we do, like who haven't acted in a while but have been fixtures in our CU theater community,
right?
Preceding our involvement in it. And that's fun to do.
That is
because
fun.
When you think about Champaign-Urbana Theater going back 100 years, CU at the Show goes back almost three.
Right.
And you and I, I first got involved. I mean, I guess I've been, somewhat of a theater fan for a couple decades, but really not. I did my first show 10 years ago, and that's when I, became an actor, became aware of, how vibrant and how exciting the the theater scene is in this town. How long would you say you've been involved?
Well, I mean, on and off for a while. I've been a theater goer in this town since I was probably 11 or 12, and I turned 50 along with the Station Theater. So, so I've been going to theater and friends with actors and different people for on and off. I haven't always lived in Champaign-Urbana, so... But I think I got back into the theater scene about 10 years ago, too, my oldest, Parker, he's 21, and I think his first play was when he was 11. So, yeah, so about 10, we probably got back involved around the same time.
What's the first community theater show that you remember seeing?
The first show was, I've talked about this online. And now, like, you put me on the spot. Was that the Station Theater? No, yeah. Well, I remember my first Station Theater play.
Okay, tell me that.
And, yeah. But I don't want to get into that right now.
Why don't you want to talk
about it? I don't know.
Because I feel like we're... off-limit stuff on
CBS. No, we're not. But I'm just saying that we're getting away from... We should cover the bat first.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we've fully covered that yet.
No, we haven't, but it's kind of like a nostalgic moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I'm not ready to get nostalgic about the Station Theater right this second.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I think that's a New Year's thing. We'll get nostalgic on New Year's. How about that?
Okay, that's
like
fair.
The first one, and because I could go on and on about different shows I've seen around here and the effect it's had on me as a kid. I remember the first show I saw at Centennial High School that I remember, and that was when my sister was in high school, and she's 7.5 years older than me. So I saw Oklahoma, and I just remember thinking, this is really...
Performed by high schoolers?
Uh-huh, yeah. And I just, so I will always, there's always a part of me that will love the Centennial High School stage more than any other stage in town.
Really curious to see what Central's coming up with, though, the new Decker Theater.
I know, but Centennial will still be my favorite.
That's fine. I mean, yeah. And it also is interesting just to think about the first shows I remember, but I also, when I think about it, it's like, I remember my first show at the Station more than I remember my first show. I'm sure I went to shows at the Virginia.
What was your first show at the Station?
Well.
Oh, you mean the first one you were in?
Yeah, it's like, no, I don't remember one as a kid.
Oh.
I think I went to Tony and Tina's wedding.
How is that possible?
I don't remember that. I don't.
Because your mom and Charlie met.
Well, right.
I mean, they didn't. Did they meet at the Station? They were both.
I think through the Station.
Right.
No, I don't think it was. My mom was never involved at the Station.
They went a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of paths cross at like Cranert and things like that. I definitely remember the first thing I saw. I remember seeing Star Wars at the Station. Course, or not Station, at the Virginia.
I was going to say, what?
That's the first thing I remember seeing at the Virginia.
Oh, like the movie?
Yeah, but it's weird that the things I remember are more, like, I remember seeing Company at the Station when Dallas Street was in it, and that was probably just about, you know, 12 or 13 years ago, maybe even less than that, because, let me see, Wade was in first grade, so that was just like 10 years ago. That's the first thing I really remember was, and that was, that just blew me away, how that small space could have this incredible, like, the show moved. Made the space big, and I think it just kind of opened me up to the possibilities of what a theater space can do.
Right. Well, okay, yeah. So my first show that I can remember, I might have seen other shows at the Station, but it was Man of La Mancha, and again, it felt bigger than life, really. It was an amazing experience because it's such a small stage. But it seemed so big when they did it. I don't know how it happens.
Yeah, and I think of it when
it's magical.
You didn't see Rent at the Station.
Mm-mm, I didn't.
That was another show. I don't even know why you would even think you could pull it off. And they absolutely did. That's the only show... It's one of a couple shows I've seen three times, but definitely the only show I've seen literally three nights in a row.
And it's interesting that you mentioned...
Without my kids being in it.
It's interesting that you mentioned Rent, because wasn't Michael Steen in Rent at the Station?
Right.
And
Michael Steen was also
Dr. getting back Wells. To the bat. Yeah.
It's like it's a loop back segue.
Right.
Is what we call it here on See What's Show.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah. So it was great to see Michael Steen on stage again. And one of my first favorite theater moments is Steen, and I think I bring this up with him probably too much because I don't know if he wants to be remembered as Gaston, but his Gaston in Beauty and the Beast.
I can't even imagine. That would have been amazing.
It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it made me want to sing that song. It made me want to, it just made me a huge fan of his. And yes, he was Roger in Rent. He was King Arthur in
Spamalot.
Which Aaron Clark was also great in.
Right, and now we, right.
We
and
saw
Aaron Clark.
Last night.
So you have one more chance to see The Bat at the Virginia Theater tonight at 7.
It's 7 o'clock, yeah. And we were able to get there. So if you're thinking it's too last minute, we were able get there 6:57, and we got seats.
Jess will hook you up. Yeah.
Yes, and we... And also, it looks like they've sold about 300 seats. But remember, the Virginia Theater seats close to 1,300. If you're not comfortable being around other people...
We went to the balcony and we're very far away from anyone else.
Yeah, we had a completely socially distanced theater experience. And
masked.
And in fact, with this, it probably is one of the biggest, most magnificent sets I've ever seen in this town.
The set, immediately I was like, wow. Because it's hard to make a set that takes up the stage so well. I mean, at the Virginia. Because the Virginia is it's a big stage. And they did such a great job. The set is amazing.
Yeah, so Robertson was the set and light designer.
Mm-hmm.
Really properties impressive. Designer and set decorator was Cindy Hayvice.
I love Cindy. Great job, Cindy,
when we noted the costumes, too, which were done by Laura Vavrin.
Yeah.
Just being all on
costumes
point.
Were great.
And I don't usually sit in the balcony, so it could be that is the best place to really appreciate how amazing the set was, but there's just no question. I was wondering how much was painted and how much was actually three-dimensional. It was, like, all by build.
Yeah, yeah.
And because people were going in and out of the doors and...
And up the stairs.
And up the stairs.
Yeah.
Right. It was really fantastic. I snapped a pretty cool picture, but I'm respecting rights.
Right.
Or, I don't know, maintaining relationships, whatever you want to call it. And so, there's lots of names also listed in for the set, build, and paint. It looks like it really took
the Gossett family.
A real
we're back
team
at it. Making
to
sets.
Pull this off.
Yeah. I remember the Gossett family from, they used to be huge set builders at when my
kids. They only built huge sets?
They only built the, yeah. They built the sets for a lot of CU, Champaign Park District. No, you. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Champaign Park District plays when my kids were involved in those. So, and it was nice to see Ryan on stage again. With Maddie Henson. So it's great. There's like some, you know, young 20-somethings or 19-year-olds and then some veterans. So it runs the gamut. The only thing slightly disappointing, wonderful actors, everybody did a really good job. It is an all-white cast. Can't.
Yeah,
gloss that over.
I agree, and I think that was kind of like an opportunity lost,
yes.
Maybe, because obviously in 1921 it was going to be,
right.
And that's probably the way it was written, and so I think there are opportunities to stay really true to something when you're having commemorating something in the past, but also what a great opportunity it would have been to acknowledge, like, hey, this is the 21st century, and things are different. Apparently they had to make some changes to the script. Not sure what they were to make it, I guess, more digestible for...
Right, not everything is ages well. And this is a 100-year-old play. So, yeah. So they had to make some changes. I would even say, even though I said I really was hit by watching Oklahoma at Centennial, I'm not so sure I agree with... Like, I look at Oklahoma a lot differently now as an adult than, you know, there's just so many plays that you go back and you go, huh, did that really age well?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been plenty of discussion on Facebook between my theater friends about different shows that they're like, and everybody's got their own opinions on that and stuff too. So you have to go see it for yourself.
I don't think that the content itself in any way was problematic.
Oh, right, for The Bat.
The Bat, no, not at all.
Right.
I think we're just kind of like talking about in general when you have an opportunity to, when you're looking at something from that has been a historical piece, what, you know, what is appropriate to make more contemporary and what's not. And I guess the idea here was to be an absolute celebration of something that happened 100 years ago. And I guess it was kept as true to that as could possibly be done.
Right, right. And again, great sets, great acting. So much fun to see everybody on stage. It was not a show that I was familiar with until we went to see it. So.
Right, and I don't think it would be appearing on any season show list were it not for something
right.
like this.
Right, and it's two acts. There was an intermission. I don't remember how long the
intermission. It's 15-minute intermission. Right. They don't do concessions, which is good.
Which is good. From a COVID standpoint.
This play was originally a three-act, and I think probably it was changed to a two-act to not have two intermissions.
Yeah, possibly.
Probably, it's a chance to stretch your legs, get some fresh air.
Right.
But anyway, The Bat at the Virginia tonight,
right.
7:00. Tickets available.
It is an interesting run to have it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
That's right. Yeah. We saw it on the actual anniversary date, but they're probably singing happy birthday every show, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But it's that time of year. It's the end of the year, and we're kind of looking back at other shows that we've seen throughout the year. We'll probably do that next week, too.
Yeah, I think we will. And I guess we'll have to decide because I'm starting to see the reminders now just on my own calendar and through Facebook of 2 years ago when we were probably starting, or we're probably pretty deep into our initial planning stages for the Sea of Show Globes.
Right.
Where we started what we thought was going to be an annual celebration of our local theater.
Yeah.
And I think that the event itself came off really well. We got to honor and celebrate and give people a chance to talk about their experiences, which was fascinating to see. Like,
it was
we had
fun.
Little acceptance speeches and performances, mm-hmm. both of shows that had already happened during 2019. And then some previews of shows we anticipated happening. It was the only time we got to see Jackie Lowenstein sing I'm Breaking Down.
Right.
Because, of course, falsettos never happened.
Right.
And anyway, my point is that we had a chance to celebrate the 2019 season. We could not do that last year. I think we would have had maybe 5 or 6 shows from early in 2020 to even talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are in 2021, where we had another abbreviated season. Looking back at the shows that we've seen, we really, the first, so other than that Something Rotten musical, which we actually saw in 2020.
Right, in Peoria.
Unbelievably, outside, but mm-hmm. still, I think there was only one of those for a reason. It was really probably with, I'm looking at our shows and when they stopped being online, I guess that was You Are Perfect in Danville at the Red Mask.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was the next one we saw in person.
And that was the first show we'd ever seen at the Red Mask. And I would say that that was actually one of the...
The benefits, I guess, of COVID.
Yeah,
right.
I was trying to think of benefit. I don't know.
No. One of the growing lessons from COVID was that See You at the Show doesn't need to just be about Champaign-Urbana, that we have such a variety of shows when you reach out farther into the central Illinois area. So, yeah. So that was a good growing experience to learn how many other places are doing theater and how we can connect with them, too. It doesn't have to be so located right here in Champaign-Urbana.
I think it's also just really aligned with what our mission is generally, which is to promote kind of like the integration of different groups. And so I think that also maybe helped by us a little bit, it'd be great if that is part of the story, but also out of necessity, we're seeing actors from different communities looking for opportunities in different areas, I think more than before.
Right.
So now when we go to a show in Bloomington, it's not a surprise at all to see Champaign actors there.
Right.
And I imagine because I think Champaign, did seem to be a little bit behind. Like Danville, I think, was a little bit more willing to accept some risks or take some chances from a COVID standpoint. And then Bloomington seemed more like ready to go when we started getting more immunization stuff. And they are doing masked shows without worrying about any impact that would have on the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yes, right.
But yeah, so if you now look at, see at the show website to see what shows are playing or what auditions are coming up, you will see things in Danville, Decatur, Monticello, Bloomington Normal, and more. So,
and speaking of Monticello, we do have a show happening this weekend. So they
it's a youth production, and I think it's this weekend only, right?
Right, and it's called Snow Angel. And it looks like it's directed by two Monticello High School thespians. So that's pretty cool. And it looks pretty interesting. It's January 1st and January 2nd, which is fun timing. On the 1st, which is Saturday, it's 7 o'clock. And Sunday, the 2nd, is 2 p.m. And it looks like it's about teen angst a little bit. So that's fun. I hadn't heard of it. Had you heard of the show?
No, I had not heard of it.
Yeah. A quiet town of Deer Point, Vermont is hit by the biggest blizzard in 107 years, and a mysterious girl named Eva steps out of the snowbank, and there's 15 confused teenagers, and it's funny and eerie. You don't see those together very often. Funny and eerie tale of teen angst, discovery, and the power of believing. Maybe the other show I would think of as eerie and funny was what we saw at Urbana High School.
Heather's,
right.
I was thinking of the same thing.
Right. That's the only other show I can think of right off the top of my head that I'd say,
well,
yeah,
if you
it's
combine
eerie and
teen
funny.
With eerie and funny.
Right. Teen angst, yeah. Eerie and funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that probably is on the back of the DVD for Heather's.
Right, probably.
VHS tape, if you want to go back that far. That was the one I used to watch all the time in college.
So I hope some people get out to Monticello and see Snow Angels.
What time is that? What days is that?
I already said. Do you want me to say it again?
Yeah, I do, because I didn't write it down.
Okay. January 1st at 7 and January 2nd at 2 p.m.
And after, so we have The Bat tonight, and then we have Snow Angel, and then there really are not any shows coming up in January of 2022. So that's a chance to audition for things.
Do we have some auditions coming up?
We do. Now I think that one of the Omicron is changing so much so fast, and I was just in on a meeting yesterday about a Station Theater event and how that is going to be impacted by, or potentially impacted by, the way that this virus is kicking back.
I have to
in.
Say I'm a little worried.
Yeah, and we should be. And so I think that when we look at what's coming up with theater, I think a lot of it, everything's got to really have an asterisk by it at this point. And probably just people in the community who are wondering or planning what they're willing to see. It's going to depend on a lot of factors.
Right. And I'm not really worried about me or you personally. You know, we're vaccinated and boosted. I'm worried about the community as a whole. Really worried about the healthcare workers. Even locally, things are really hard on all the hospitals. Definitely check in on your friends who work in the healthcare industry.
And let's support decisions that are made by groups, not just to cancel something or to move something online, but also if you think it's inconvenient to have to not just show your vaccination card, not just prove that you had a booster, but maybe also show that you've got a negative COVID test in the last 48 or 72 hours. These are things that are not inconveniences. They're things that are actually allowing us to keep doing what we love to do. So anytime somebody says, I can't let you in without your vax card, or I know you have a vax card, but I need a test too, thank them.
Right.
Because this is the way that we're gonna continue to be able to see theater, continue to be able to perform, continue to be able to interact socially, is if we take extreme measures of caution. And so when organizations decide to do that, please, you know, at least be respectful to them. But I think you should thank them, mm-hmm. because what we're trying to do is keep this thing afloat without having to go back in.
Like, look at all the Broadway plays that are getting canceled, and yeah.
Oh, I know, and
it's bad.
Yeah, right. And those are Broadway plays where, in some instances, and the Hugh Jackman thing got a lot of notoriety because when they had somebody from The Swing step into a lead role, that's not the. We don't really have that kind of capability here in local theater.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of understudies.
That rarely happens.
Right.
I mean, I guess we. It was kind of cool with Into the Woods, the student production, that they had enough people, like a stage manager and even the director, knew the play and were talented enough to step in.
Right.
But for the most part, if there's something like that happens in a local production, it's going to get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that with some of the early shows in Decatur. I think it was what's the bloody one?
Yeah, I can't.
I think that got canceled both years they tried to do it.
Yeah. Right, and we don't want that to happen. So that's why we're trying to take as many precautions as we can to keep everybody safe. You don't want the actors, the cast, anybody in the crew or the community getting sick because we're trying to do live theater. But we still wanted to keep going. So we need to do what we can to keep everybody safe.
And I guess we know what to do if we, you know, I think that people have learned how to do remote sorts of performances, virtual performances, online, Zoom, all
right.
that kind of stuff.
And Cranor, I feel like, has been at the forefront saying that people have to be vaccinated for their productions now. And I'm a little bit disappointed that the Virginia has not also stepped up and said, we need proof of vaccinations, that it would be a good thing for the Virginia to do.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that because it was so easy at Cranor. And Cranor, they were filling up Great Hall for a show, but all you needed to do was set up a table and then they gave a wristband.
Mm-hmm.
It took us, I don't know, 30 extra seconds to get in.
Right.
And that is something we should expect. And I guess, and the University of Illinois now for sporting events and, you know, theater events, that's what you're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be the new normal. And there are different ways. I found a pretty cool app where I could just load up my, it's called My Bindle, and I would just have loaded up my vax card, scanned my driver's license. So now I just pull up the app, and that's what Chicago theater companies are doing. And that was what Cranor was appreciative when I showed them that. So it's going to happen. That's what we're going to be looking at in 2022. But there are, I guess we were starting to talk about the audition opportunity got into this, because I think what we're saying is this: everything has this COVID Omicron asterisk by it, is we just don't know.
But we do have some auditions coming up really quickly.
And interestingly, they're musicals.
Right. Jesus Christ Superstar at Decatur Underground Theater, January 5th, 6 to 8 p.m. And are we going to promote Fireflies auditions?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can point people to Fireflies.
Right.
Where Fireflies is going to be produced by CEO at the show. It's going to mm-hmm. be directed by Jalen Hope. And we are accepting submissions for the two cast members, and later we'll be also looking for dancers.
And the great thing about that is that's a video submission. You don't have to come on any certain day. Just get your videos done. Sometimes that's harder for people to get it done. So we'll definitely put a post and link on our Facebook page. And then
all of these auditions, we have a audition tab on coattheshow.com, and there's a special tab for Fireflies if you want more information on that.
Right.
Jesus Christ Superstar auditions are January 5th, like Linda said, from 6 to 8. Peoria Players are doing Sweet Charity, and auditions for that are January 7th and 8th.
Mamma Mia at Community Players Theater, January 17th through the 19th. And you can see Eric auditioning for SpongeBob the Musical at Parkland College.
Please don't see Eric auditioning. you want to
January 22nd.
Join Eric as
join
being
Eric.
An auditioner. But we're not like...
No, we're not going to watch you audition. Sorry. See you at the auditions.
Yeah. There are still plenty of audition slots available. The link at parkland.edu, and you can also find it on our audition page. That's going to be coming up this spring, hopefully, and auditions are January 22nd.
You're listening to WE.